really not a good place to go where you get an information on why you do what you do when you do it in protection work, and why you do a certain thing with one dog and not another. There are lots of guys out there that are good helpers, good decoys, good at doing protection work with dogs, but they frequently don't know the theory behind what they're doing or don't explain it to people. So I spent many, many years in dog clubs hopping around and had very few people ever explain anything to me, like, why do you do this? And what you wind up doing is, over the years, you wind up copying what someone else is doing, trying it out on dogs. If you stick with it long enough, you figure out, oh, this doesn't work so well with every dog, why do we do this? And so I wanted a course that basically talked about the mental states and emotional states of protection work, like what's going on in the dog's head when they're doing it, helps people learn to read some of the external signs about what's going on with the dogs in protection and aggression type work, and then some techniques for developing them, and then some common techniques that are in play and why we use them with certain dogs. This is a biggie, right? And if you've been around any dog clubs or even around personal protection work, there are a lot of things that people just kind of do by rote. So, as off the top of my head example, when in Schutzen circles, if you've been around many Schutzen clubs, everyone's having the dogs hold and carry the sleeves. They're kicking the sleeves back out to the helper after they've slipped the sleeve to the dog. And there's a purpose for all of this, and it's appropriate for a specific kind of dog and very inappropriate for another kind of dog. And I had to find this out over a long period of time because nobody ever really explains that to you. If you go to a club, they'll say, okay, do this, do this, do this, and you get out there, you do it, and then boom, you're off the field. And, well, okay, I guess that's what we do. And many helpers, you ask them, hey, why do you do that? And they say, well, that's because we do, right? Do what I say. Like, and there's no discussion of what's going on in the dogs. I'm going to divide some of the discussion into what I'll consider like practical protection, which I'll lumping in there. I'm going to talk about police protection and personal protection type work versus sport protection. So they weren't always separate things, but over the last, well, 50 to 100 years, they've become separate things. So there are a whole host of protection sports that were originally designed as breed suitability tests, as selection processes for police-type dogs, and they've become standardized and stylized, and they're now sports, like an Olympic sport. They're all graded on points, and people are developing techniques to make the dogs do protection better aesthetically to suit that sport. So we're going to talk about all the main sports and the differences between them. And some of the techniques for doing bite work from sport to sport are radically different. And if you were to go to most ring sport clubs and train your dogs in protection the way most Schutzen helpers do, there would be a big disconnect. But there is also a lot of crossover and overlap between those. Once you start to understand the technique, there's also a lot of overlap between them. And the reason that I'm, for the people that are not interested in sport, per se, but are interested in real protection, for want of a better term, police work, personal protection work, or just interested in dog aggression, the reason that I'm surveying the sport world so much is that's where the bulk of the innovation is happening. So the people that are really examining the minutiae of protection work are people in the sport world. And it's the same thing in the obedience. Right, so when we talk about obedience, almost all the innovation is happening in the competitive sport world, because competition tends to breed and drive innovation. People try to get better, and once you start grading things on a certain level and you have a standardized test and there are points involved, then people try to say, well, we hit this level, how do I make the next level? How do I milk some extra points out of this? And that's where most of the good technique has come, and where the people have broken down protection into its smallest pieces because they're more concerned with aesthetic things, I mean what it looks like, instead of just whether or not the dog bites or doesn't bite.
We are continually looking for new ideas and new products, new trainings to offer through Learburg.com. So if you have a product, maybe it's a treat or a course that you'd like to see us offer, email us at ideas@learburg.com. We'd love to hear what your ideas are and what are some of the new things you'd like to see.